Welcome to A Culture of the Supernatural. Hi, this is Apostle Jonathan Bird. Using my experience as a springboard, I want to share with you steps that you can take to begin the process of walking in the supernatural. Amazing progress can be made by both men and women who are willing to be discipled. True freedom is a result of understanding and receiving the truth about yourself and your Creator. Come and join with me in today's message. This is part six of Blowing Winds of Destiny. He said, well, why don't we just keep talking about destiny? Because you haven't arrived yet. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. In order for our minds to be renewed, we have to be on a path that we've never walked on before. And we have to hear things to inspire us to dream and to believe God for things that we never dreamed and believed God before. And that is how, from the word of the Lord, that we have the mind of Christ. And that's what begins to change our lives and bring transformation into our hearts. If there's one verse of scripture I'd like to look at this morning, and then we're going to turn over to Isaiah. So we're going to begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. That's where we want to start at. And then we're going to go over to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. But the first verse we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, it is doubtless not profitable to me to boast. Paul said, there's no benefit for me to boast, so I won't do it. But then he says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Every last one of us want to come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Always remember, revelation without illumination becomes nothing more than information. You can have a lot of people with a lot of information about the scripture, about the Bible, about Bible stories, about characters in the Bible. But unless it's illuminated by the Holy Spirit, then it's nothing more than just information. And so then they walk around and says, well, the Bible's a history book. No, the Bible is a future book. And the scripture says in the book of Revelation, blessed is he or her who reads and hears the words of this prophecy. So it's a book of the future. So now let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So the prophet says it was in a year, he marked it by the year that the king died. So he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he says, I had a vision. I saw the Lord. And he says, I saw the Lord, and he was sitting on his throne, and he was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, how would you like to see that? How would you like to have, me too, sister, how would you like to have a vision of the Lord high and he's lifted up? Can you imagine, and I can, that the Lord is high and lifted up above every sickness, every disease, every problem, any chaos that you ever may go through, he is high and lifted up. Not only is he high and lifted up and he's sitting on the throne, but the glory of his robe will fill every situation you go through. You just got to see the Lord high and lifted up. If you don't see the Lord high and lifted up, then your problems and your circumstances, you will see high and lifted up. So why know? Why stand in the middle of your circumstances? Speak to that mountain, command it to move. The greatest gift God ever gave to humanity was not sight, but vision. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. So the greatest gift that God ever gave to humanity was not sight, but vision. A supernatural ability to convey a revelation of a preferred future and a hope and a destiny. A preferred future and a hope and a destiny. We began this series, and I asked you, I says, God said, I remember when Apostle Lyon called me in his office and set me down and showed me all the plans that the Lord had given him for the new sanctuary. And he looked at me, closed the fire, and he says, Apostle Bird, would you dream with me? Would you dream with me? God is a dreaming God. In fact, all of creation came out of his imagination. God had a great idea. And he imagined, you know what he said? Let us make a man. And then he says, let us make it in our image. So God had already seen it in the mind of God, in his imagination. God says, I see this picture of a great man. I see this picture of a good-looking black man named Jonathan Bird. I was in his imagination. Thank you. I brought my own encouragement, so I just encouraged myself, I guess. You know, I mean, it's like my wife, you see? Can you see what I'm saying? I had this great imagination about this foxy lady, like Adam did. You know, Eve must have been just off the chart. You know what I'm talking about? She just had to been foxy in every way. You know, I mean, he didn't call her an ant. He didn't call her a cow. He didn't call her a pig. He says, you're going to be Eve. You know, I'm getting excited here. But I just want you to know that. I want you to know that. So, and it's okay. Get a vision of something good. You know, I mean, it's hard to look over at something and say, oh, my God, what have I done? I mean, you know what I mean? Nobody wants to see that. Back to the message. Vision is not a private view of the future, but the view of our future inspired by God. It's a view of our future inspired by God. Prophetic vision is the foresight with insight based on hindsight. Prophetic vision is foresight with insight based on hindsight. In the book of Psalms chapter 33, verse 11. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation, these words. His destiny plans for the earth stand sure. In other words, God says, my destiny plan for the earth will stand sure. Forever his plan remains in plain and will never fail. God says, forever my plan will stand in plain sight and it would never fail. And it will never fail. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. Isaiah 14, verse 24. These words from the NIV. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen. God told the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet to the nation. So God told Jeremiah, before I even formed you in the matrix of your mother's womb, I already had a purpose for your existence. I had already given you the ability to carry out the purpose for which I created you. God creates nothing without having a purpose before he creates it. Every manufacturer that creates something had a purpose before he created it. And that's the way it is with God. Before God ever created us, he had a purpose for the reason why he did. Adam told Eve, you shall be bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, because out of me you was taken. Now, it's kind of hard to have to say that, but it is true. Eve was created for Adam's purpose. She was created for Adam's desire. And that don't sound good, and a lot of women don't think that, you know, well, it's true. Everything that God created in this Bible was for Adam's desire. And it was never intended for Adam to be a bad man. Satan wasn't always bad. He didn't start out bad. He started out good. He started out good. And so what makes the totality between a man and a woman is that they serve one another. Do you understand that? That's called totality. I am incomplete without my wife. Now, if a woman chooses to remain unmarried, Paul says she chooses to give her life as unto the Lord, then she is married to the Lord. And then her and the Lord have totality. They have oneness. So there is something in you and me that eternity is calling. There is something in me and there is something in you that hears the voice of eternity calling us. Don't you sense the call in your life? I think every last one of us do. Every last one of us have a call of eternity. We sense that there's something always greater to achieve in life. That's the sense of destiny. It's the voice of destiny. It's the voice of eternity calling you onto the journey to fulfill your destiny, the God purpose for your life. The vision that God has placed in our hearts is a piece of eternity that he has given us to deliver in time and space while we are here on this earth. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that's right after Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 11. I'm going to read verse 11, then 14 and 15, and it reads, "And he has made everything beautiful in his own time." God has made everything beautiful in its own time. Also, he has put eternity in our hearts, except that no one can find out the works that God does from beginning to end. I know that whatever God does, it will be forever. Verse 14, whatever God does, it will be forever. Nothing can be added to it. God does it that man should fear before him. Verse 15, that which is already been and what has will always be has already been. Wow. Listen to that. Let me read it to you again. That which has already been and what is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past. And I said to you earlier, prophetic vision is foresight with insight based on hindsight. God has already set the plan of life on the path to journey with all of his goodness. And he says, now walk to me by faith. In other words, God says, I've already declared the end from the beginning. There was no other choice but for me to be saved. There was no other choice for me but to be the preacher. Why? It was already in God's plan. I just took a long way to get there. That hard road in my life was not part of God's plan. It was my own choosing. Now, I had eyes just popped up and said, oh, here it is. Who let the dogs out? I mean, you know, I could have popped up and said something like that. But God says, no, you know what? I'm going to put you on this path. Now, I want you to trust me and walk to me by faith. Why? Because I've already declared the end from the beginning. Well, I didn't know it. I was blind. I was a sinner living in sin. I was blind to his light. But when I had gotten to the end of myself and wanted to die, God says, not yet. And God used a voice. He just, a simple voice. It was my aunt. She just simply said to me, hey, Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. Now, those simple words spoke to the destiny inside of me. Those simple words spoke to the eternity inside of me, and it caused my life to turn just like that. Don't you hear eternity calling? When interpreting scripture, it is good to keep in mind. And we must keep these things in mind when we are interpreting scripture. that the distinction between the passages, interpretation, and the same passage, application. Those are two different things. A passage can have one meaning, but many interpretations, many applications. And that's important for us to keep that in mind when we're reading the scripture. A passage can have one meaning, but many applications. So in other words, God's got many ways to get you there. He may not just choose this way. God didn't just choose the way I grew up. I didn't grow up where people just always went to church. I mean, we went there all the time, but we just went there because we were made. If we didn't go there, we got beat down. So you just got in the car and we rolled with the punches. You understand that? If everybody went to church, you went to church. You see? You couldn't go to church. If I didn't go to church, I couldn't come home and watch Tarzan. You know, that came on right after church. You know, I mean, we heard him ran home, you know, to hear him, you know what I'm talking about? He'd be hollering and swinging from Branson. You know, so you had to go home and watch Tarzan, you know? And we couldn't go to the Capri Theater, which was down on Main Street. We had to go down to Capri Theater. We would watch the scary movies, you know, Godzilla. You know what I mean? You know, and we watch all the China movies, you know, where you know, they talk and they come on later. You know, I mean, that was Sunday morning, you know, but you had to go to church. I didn't learn anything, but I went to church. And I learned how to be quiet, or you got that knock, you know what I'm talking about? You know, grandma's arm could reach all the way down one pew, cross the aisle. You know, they had mothers then. They called them mothers, you know. Because they'd be in the aisle, you know, with little white gloves on, little fingers. And so her arm would come past down the pew, about 10 people sitting on the pew, cross the aisle past the mother, past three other kids, and pop me on top of the head. Now, you know, I used to think, how on earth? You know, you'd be sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. How does that happen? When you're a kid, you don't think about it. You just think, you know, I mean, we had Mr. Gadget then. You just thought she was spooky, you know. But, she, you know, that pop on the side of the head, so and then I wasn't even talking. It wasn't even me. It wasn't even me. And Tammy knew all about that. She got students. I ain't talking. Don't look at me. It's the person next to me. You know that, right? You never get caught, and you never admit it. So anyway. So when interpreting scripture, it's vitally important that we understand the principle. Here's a good application to help us understand what the plans and the purpose and that God has for our life in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. God says, this is what I think about you. I know when I'm thinking about you, and I know why I'm thinking it about you. And so God says to give you a future and a hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if that is true, then faith is the fruit of hope. Faith would have to be the fruit of hope. You have to have hope before it develops into faith. And then it is faith that you trust God by, not hope. Now faith is always in the presence. Hope is always in the future. So God says, I know the plans. I know what my thoughts are towards you, Jonathan Bird. I know what my thoughts are toward each and every one of you. And God said it's to give you peace, to give you a future with hope. And the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 5. These words, Romans 5, verse 5. It says, now hope does not disappoint. Uh-oh. He says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. So there is a substance inside of me and inside of you, if you're a born-again believer, there's a substance inside of you called hope. And that hope would not disappoint because it is concrete, it is cemented in the love of God that was poured out into our hearts. So if hope does not disappoint, then hope must appoint. If hope does not disappoint, then it must appoint me to a preferred future. The unseen supernatural reality around us is populated with both angels, demons, and as human beings, we struggle with discerning the difference between the two. We often struggle with discerning, is this a good thing? Is this demonic? Is this as angels? Or is this just my flesh, my desires? What is it that I'm sensing, Lord? What is it? Is this my desire or desire, your desire? Or is this inordinate? Is this unnatural? I don't know what I am dealing with here. And I need you, Holy Spirit, to open the eyes of my understanding so that I can rightly discern what I am dealing with. And oftentimes, we are dealing with our own desire more than we are with angels whispering in our ear or demons tormenting us. Anything that we don't like, we call it demonic. Well, who's more real to you? Angels, God, demons, or your own natural self? Supernatural eyesight is a fundamental byproduct of a born-again believer's spirit-filled life. Every believer should have this byproduct of a supernatural life. In other words, a supernatural life should be more desirable to me than this natural world. Most of the 21 dreams recorded in the Bible fall under the category of prophetic dreams or prophetic warnings. Dreams are far more common than visions. And these contemporary times that we are living in, the subject of spiritual visions are not as common as the subject of dreams. The final end time revival will be a global harvest larger than anything the world has ever experienced. Whenever the Holy Spirit moves upon Israel, there will always be a stirring of prophetic activity among prophets, including visions, dreams, and angelic visitation. And there are more prophets that are speaking and having dreams of what God is showing them now that Israel has been going through this attack. And the Holy Spirit has been moving in the midst of Israel, and now prophets are being stirred with visions and dreams and angelic visitation of what God is doing. And you can track it in the Bible. Every time Israel was going through something, the prophets began to stir. The prophets began to speak. The prophets began to have visions and dreams, and they began to come and to declare, "Thus says the Lord." God is speaking. My wife and I, about a few weeks ago, we wake up early in the morning and she would tell me about a dream she had. And I would tell her about a dream I had. I would be stern and she would tap me on the shoulder and say, "Are you okay?" And I says, "Honey, this dream is troubling my head." And I says, "I dreamed about this." And she'll ask me and she said, "Well, what was the dream about?" And I said, "It was about you." And she'll say, "Oh, that's it." Smart woman. Leave that dream alone. But we would wake up, we were having dreams back to back. Why? Why? Because God is stirring in Israel. And when the Holy Spirit begins to move in Israel's midst, the prophets begin to rise. They begin to have dreams and visions. And I've heard more prophets, Hank Kuhneman, begin to talk about how angels begin to visit him. And he'd be having these visions by angels. I mean, just incredible. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is stirring in our hearts. In the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 6. Numbers, chapter 12, verse 6. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in dreams." Wow. He says, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you," he says, "I, the Lord myself, will make myself known to him in a vision and in a dream." Lance Wannell, another prophet, another known prophet, have been talking about what God has been speaking to him prophetically, how God has been appearing to him in dreams and visions, and God's been talking to him. I'm telling you, the prophets around the nation are speaking very loud and clear. Why? Because of all of the activity that's been going on in Israel. God is a dreaming God. I can't say that to you enough. He is a dreaming God. Unlocking the mysteries of our prophetic dreams and visions will be the key to many unanswered questions about your life, your purpose, and your destiny. One third of most people's lives is devoted to sleeping. One third of it. Over one third of the Bible is directly related to dreams and visions. It is important for us in these last days to understand how God is speaking to us. He said, "In these last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." And he says, "The young men and the old men and his maiden," he says, "upon them I will pour out my spirit." He says, "They will have dreams and visions." Many of you are having dreams. You're having a lot of dreams, and you don't necessarily know what these dreams mean. Ask God, ask Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, why am I having this dream?" And not all dreams are from God. And you need to rightly be able to discern where this dream is coming from. We'll talk about that in a moment. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. These words. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. "Throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by the prophets in many different ways." In other words, God is not tied to one way of speaking. God can speak to you in many different ways. The scripture says, "Out of the mouths of babes, he has ordained perfect praise." Never doubt. I mean, a child can speak to you and prophesy to you, tell you what God is saying, and go play. And they'll tell you what God has spoken to their heart, and you think, "Oh, that's just strange." Oh, no. And they'll run off and go play and do something silly. They don't have to stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord to you." God put those thoughts in their heart. God put those words out of their mouth. Children will warn you, "You know, mommy, you shouldn't do that. God doesn't like that." And you're just thinking, you know, "Well, you know, you're just a child. Don't talk to me like that. You just, you know, do what I tell you to do." You know, and on and on the story goes. But God just told that child to tell you, "I don't like what you're doing, and you need to change it." But you're going to exercise your parents, your authority. "I'm bigger than you. I'll push you down and beat you up. You better go play." You know, something like that. But that child has just told you from the mouth of God that God doesn't like your attitude, and you're heading towards danger, and God wants you to pay attention. So look what he says. He says, "Throughout history, God has spoken to our ancestors by the prophet, but in many different ways. The revelation that he gave was only a fraction at a time." Still reading the verse, "building one truth upon another." In other words, when God spoke to the prophets, they would speak to the people, and then God wouldn't speak to them probably for 14, 20 years later. It ain't like the prophets just sit around and prophesy. Whenever God showed up, God spoke to Abraham, and then he came back 17 years later and spoke to Abraham again. It ain't like he just sat around and talked to Abraham. But he was building upon that foundation one right after another, building one truth upon another. But as for us, living in these last days, God is now speaking to us openly in the language of his Son. In other words, how is God talking to the body of Christ in the world today through his Son, Jesus Christ? That's how God is speaking to us in these last days. That's how he is talking to us. The appointed heir, talking about Jesus, of everything, for through him God created the panorama of all things to come. For all things to come. So how is God speaking to us in these last days? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. How is it being brought to us? Through the written word of God, through prophets, through many believers who hear from God, through worship. And this is how God is speaking to us, through Holy Spirit, many different ways. In other words, God says, in times past, I spoke to the prophet in different ways. Okay? He says, now I'm going to talk to you in multiple facets, just like a diamond ring. I have many ways that I'm going to speak to you in these last days. And God's primary language is through dreams and visions. How God reveals destinies to us through dreams and visions. So in other words, you probably hear the sound of eternity calling to your destiny, but you don't know what it is. You don't recognize the voice, but it's been calling you. And all of a sudden, you find yourself moving in that direction. You find yourself moving. And then when you find yourself moving in a direction that you're uncomfortable with, you can't stand it. Get me out of here. I quit. Everybody else, just take this job and shove it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I mean, all of a sudden, you're so uncomfortable. Why? Because you're out of alignment. You're on the wrong path, and that's not the path God wants you on. So then God has to rearrange you and cause a reset to come into your life. So he can reset you and put you back into, or you hear some people say, I love what I'm doing. I knew I was created to do just this. And there are people who will feel that way. And yet everything they touch would turn into gold. Why? Because they're in the place that God placed them. And they're fulfilling the purpose for which God created them to fulfill. You see? So they are walking on the path of their destiny. You know, there are so many books that's been written on purpose. Why? Because people are in search of value. They're in search to have value for why they exist. And so they'll go buy a book, somebody will write a book, and you go down and you look at the shelf and you're like, my God, there's a whole line of books on purpose. Can everybody be right? I mean, I don't live long enough to read all these books. You know, and so you buy all those books and you jump through all those hurdles and you're still unsatisfied. So then what is the key? Right here. This book will give you the answers that will unlock your purpose, unlock your desires, put you on the road to your destiny and fulfillment in life. It is written in this book. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. So there is basically two kinds of visions in which the Lord will speak to you. The first is the vision of the mind, in which the Lord projects images and pictures onto the screen of your mind. That is what we referred to a couple of weeks ago. When I was talking here a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a sanctified imagination. A sanctified imagination. Or an imagination that is under the influence of Holy Spirit. The second is an open vision. This is the image which you see with your natural eyes. You have an open vision. You see it with your natural eyes. The first one was that you see it through your imagination. In other words, your mind has been renewed according to the word of God, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to show you things. It comes up on the screen of your mind. An open vision is when the image that you see is with your natural eyes. in Abram's imagination, before he was Abraham, and Abram's imagination to receive from God, because he received from God, Abraham's faith became God's imagination. And once it became God's imagination, God said to Abraham, "Hey, come outside." Abram had a vision of a better life outside of Haran, a mental image of a better future. And in Genesis 11:31, you can find that passage. Every time Abram saw the stars in the sky and the dust on his feet, he saw the destiny of his family. God said, "Abraham, come outside." And so when he came outside, he says, "Look up there in the sky," because he would complain he didn't have a child. He says, "I don't have an heir." And Middle Eastern, just like men today, every man wants a son. Why? Because women get married, the name changes, but the name doesn't change with the son. So he wants an heir to carry the name. And so he says, "Abraham, come outside." And he says, "Look up there. You see all those stars?" He says, "If you can count them." And he says, "If you can count them, so shall your descendants be." He says, "You see all that sand down there? If you can count all that sand, so shall your descendants be." And then you know what God says? This is going to be their destiny. I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to multiply them. That's what he said. You know, every time I talk to my daughter and she's having a bad day, I remind her that you were created for increase and multiplication. Don't cry to me and tell me your bills has gotten over you. You need to get on top of your bills. She said, "Dad, I know. What did I call for? I knew what she was going to say." You see, why? Because I'm not going to get down in that pit with you. Are you listening to me? If I get down in that pit, then we both need somebody to come and pull us out of the pit. This is what the word of the Lord said. You don't have it now, but the butter is on its way. I said, you don't have it now, but the butter is on its way. You walk by faith and not by sight. And so she said, "You know, Dad, thanks for talking to me." I said, "You listen to me. Don't hang up this phone." I said, "You stop that nonsense. You have the word of the Lord in you. You have the word of the Lord in your mouth, and you declare what God says." She calls me back 3 days later, shouting, "The butter came." I said, "Shut up." Mm-hmm. You see, it's so easy. So God says, "Abram, come out here." And once he got a vision of it, God changed his name to Abraham, the father of many nations. Man. In Genesis chapter 15, 5, these words. Then he brought him outside, talking about Abram. He brought him outside and said, "Look now towards the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And two chapters later, in chapter 17, he says, "I'm going to bless you." Then God says, "I'm going to multiply you." So God stopped talking to Abraham about increase and started telling Abraham about multiplication. My God, you know, maybe we need to stop talking about increase and change our language to multiplication. Are you listening to me? You know, when I was going to school, we had increase. We had 1 + 1 + 2. And then the teacher says, "Now, what's 2 × 2? Well, she lost me. I was still looking for the plus sign. And then she said, "Well, 2 + 2. I said, "My God, the number's just double." Shut up. The number's just double. I got excited. So every time me and my wife bring our seed up here, you know what we say? Multiplication. The number's just doubled. And God says, "I promise you, I will bless you 1,000 times more, just as I have promised." How many want 1,000 times more multiplication? Now, some of y'all didn't put your hand up. That's all right. We'll take your part. You ain't got to put your hand up. We just slide it on over here. We'd be more than happy to take it. and leave you sitting over there suffering with your bone every now and then. The New Testament opens with God revealing to Peter in a trance that an appointed time for a prophetic release to come to pass. It was a chronos moment of destiny that had to come to a man's house called Cornelius. In the book of Acts, chapter 10. Let me hurry. If y'all just give me about 5 more minutes, I know you got to go. Just give me 5 minutes and I'm trying to get to this point and bless you. And it's 5 minutes, so I got 5 minutes to 10:30. Then if you give me 5 minutes. Okay, so 10:30 is a given. I bless you. I thank you for blessing me with the 10:30. But then just give me 5 after that, then we'd be good. So in Acts chapter 10. You know, they used to say, take your time, preacher. They don't say that no more. Ain't nobody holding your tongue. Ain't nobody say that no more. Preacher, we ain't getting out of here at 3 o'clock. In Acts chapter 10. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, the next day as they went on their journey and they drew too near to the city, Peter went up on a rooftop to pray at the sixth hour. And then he became very hungry and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and objects like a great sheet bound with 4 corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And they were full of all kinds of 4-footed animals on the earth, beasts and creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, said, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. He says, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, don't you call unclean. Uh-oh. Good, that'll get a lot of religious people in trouble. Don't call me unclean. In verse 16, this was done 3 times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. And now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision, now he goes from a trance, then he calls it a vision, which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house, and they stood before the gate. And they called and they asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. Let's go to verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man who fears God, has a good reputation among the nation of the Jews, so divinely instructed by the holy angels. Now we got angels involved. To summons you to his house and to hear words from you. Verse 23. And then they invited him and he lodged with them. And the next day, Peter went up with them. And some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Let's go to verse 44. And while Peter was still speaking these words, he arrived now. The Holy Spirit fell on all of those who heard his words. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out also on the Gentile. Trances. Trances are another way God speaks to his people. Many believers think that only people in the occult can have trances. Trances are much like visions, except when you are in a trance, you are completely unaware of your surroundings. The Greek word for trance means to be out of your mind. The nature of a trance is to take you out of your mind and into God's. All trances are not from the occult or the dark side. God can come upon you in a trance, and it doesn't mean that God's going to show you the dark side. So not everything is from the demonic. Not everything is from the occult. So, but as Christians, we just bang on everybody and not really understanding the interpretation or the application of the passage. Not all revelation comes from God, and not all that appears to be spiritual comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why here at Kingdom Center Rockford, we want you to learn not only how to receive revelation, but also how to discern the essential difference between dreams, visions, and trances, because many of you probably have them and not even recognize what they are. How does God want to speak to you about your journey to your destiny is up to Him. God can come to you and sit in your car, in the middle of your car, all of a sudden something flashes before your eyes and you see it and you say to the person in the car, or you're in the car by yourself and like, what was that? And you look again and like, what are you talking about? You're still sitting at the light. Nothing happened, but it was a trance. And your eyes were wide open. And it flashed before you just that fast. Many of you have had encounters with angels and not knew what brushed up against me. Who? I feel a presence in the car. I feel like somebody is staring at me, but there's nobody around. And you go to the window to see if some peeking Tom's looking in your window. Why? It's angels. You're entertaining angels unaware. And you don't even know it. And we have to learn how to become more sensitive to the spirit world than we are to the natural world. And the more we start living there, the more frequent it'll become to us. So when God shows you those things, say, do it again. I like that, angel. Do that again. Speak to me again. What did you say, Lord? Say it again. Show me again. What was that I saw? What did that dream mean to me? God is troubling my mind. And if it's not fear and it's not dread and it's not worry, then you can talk to God. If it is worry or dread, then you know that that came out of your subconscious into your conscious mind. And it may be the fear that you've been living in, and God wants to reveal it to you to deliver you from the fear, the thing that you fear most. And you need to take authority. You exercise your authority. So I just placed the blood of Jesus over my mind. I don't know how you got into my mind. You come up out of the subconscious. You come out of my soul. God, I thank you that you brought deliverance into my soul. I don't have to live in the fear. I don't have to live in rejection. I don't have to live in unforgiveness, because that has been hindering me from walking on the journey that you have set before me. And I ask you to forgive me. I release that person for what they've done to me. I release them of it in the name of Jesus. I release myself of that burden. And I say, God, I accept everything that you have for me. I want to be on the path that you required me to walk on. I do it by faith. I declare that I'm delivered from it. I say, you cannot live in my soul. You have no right to be in there. You will not blind me from the things that God has for me. I will walk in his truth and his power by the authority of his word. And I command you to come up out of me in the name of Jesus. I place my hand on my belly. I say, go in Jesus' name. I lay my hands on my head. I said, man, you will think like God thinks you will. You will have God's thoughts. You would dream like God dreamed. In the name of Jesus, I will pour oil all over my head. I will take communion. I will sing praises to God, but you're going to come out of me. You are not going to rule my soul. There's a whole lot of people I like, but I can smile at them now. Tell them, you ought to be glad I'm saved. You don't know how long you're going to live. Are you listening to me? You see, there's a whole lot of people. Don't act like y'all don't like nobody. I mean, you know, y'all got people y'all don't like. You see, but you know what? I don't have to harbor the weight of that in my soul. I can love you in Christ. I may not like what you do, but I love you in Christ. I'm commanded to love. I may not want to hang out with you and don't want to come to your house and visit you. Don't ask me. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? But yeah, I got to keep my heart right. And I'm not going to be going to bed at night having to have terrible dreams about you. Are you listening? I don't want you popping up in my dream. It'd be like, how did you get there? Come out of there, devil. You and your mama and the rest of your family, come up out of there. Are you listening to me? I'm not going to waste my time and my sleep. My sleep is sweet and peaceful unto the Lord, and you popping up in my dream. You'd be like, how'd you get there? You know, the devil loves to remind you of your past. He'll bring your past up and put people. You'd be telling me, what on earth? I'm a married man. How did you get in there? Are you listening to me? I don't know how you got in my mind. And you just have to cast that down. Why? Because you know it has no right to be in my soul, in my subconscious, and you have no right to flash on the screen of my life. Let me give you this last thought. Satan is a counterfeiter. And he can only copy the things of God. He is not a creator. He's a forger. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, Amplified Translation, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, Amplified Translation, I got a minute and 45, and this is what it says. The coming of the Antichrist is the lawless one. He's the lawless one, and the lawless one, he moves through the activities of Satan. Attempt with great power, all kinds of counterfeit miracles and deceptions, signs and false wonders, all of them are lies. Tell the person next to you, I ain't gonna let nothing live in my mind rent free. Go ahead and tell them. I'm talking to a victorious people this morning, and God wants us to dream with him. You may think, you know what, God, you need to kind of hurry up. You count your days, but God says your days are numbered by me. It would be nice to have the strength of a 20-year-old again, but I don't want to be 20 again. You understand that? They're dumb as a sack of rocks. And I'm just saying, you know, when you were 20, you weren't all that smart either. But you live a little bit, you know, you have some bumps, go through some valleys and stand on some mountains, and all of a sudden, you begin to learn some things out of life. But these are the greatest days of your life, right here today. And God wants to shoot things into your heart, into your mind. He wants to say, Rich, your daddy did it this way, but this is how I'm going to show you how to do it. Are you listening to me? You see, if we could only think like that, if we could talk to God that way, God, what do you want me to do? It's a big task, but you're a big God. How do you want me to do it, God? And if you ask God that, don't ask him to supply, because whatever God provides for you, he will supply for you. You don't have to worry about how it's going to come. You just have to be obedient when it comes. That's all God requires of you. But the first thing we want to ask him is about, God, how are you going to take care of this? You want me to take out a loan? You want me? I told you about that Cadillac. I was crying to God about it. God told me, I didn't tell you to buy it. Keep taking it to the car wash. I ain't like that at all. You see? And you know, once you pay it off, you just go buy another one. That wasn't a good subject. We were doing pretty good there for a minute, wasn't we? Oh, hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Let's pray. This is Apostle Bird. So glad that you tuned into the podcast. I'm looking forward to you enjoying it again. Come with us soon and meet us with our next Supernatural podcast. God bless you.